And we're going to look at verses 18 through 21 this morning, and I've titled the message, Under the Influence of the Spirit. Under the Influence of the Spirit. Let's read together. It says, this is chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. And it says, Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, we're talking about living this life that God wants us to live. We've learned in the first verse there, chapter 5, we're to imitate our Father as children of God. And then it goes on and talks about how to imitate Him and which ways we're to follow Him and how we're to follow Him. And He comes to this part here where we're going to see a life that is lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll see how it fits in with every part of our life. And He gives some examples. A marriage, a raising your children, your work environment, and how we are to live as Christians. So He starts off with the fact that we are not to be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, obviously, the Scripture talks about not to get drunk. You can have maybe a glass of wine or a beer or something and not get drunk. We are definitely not to get drunk as Christians. Now, He uses this, though, as a way to illustrate or contrast what you are supposed to be as a Christian, what your relationship with the Holy Spirit is to be like. You remember when in the early church, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and Jesus had told them earlier to wait until the Holy Spirit would come, the promise of the Father. And in the second chapter, they were up in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and there were tongues upon their fire upon their head, and they spoke with other tongues. And when Peter was asked what happened, he says, "This is what was promised. This is what's taken place." Now, the thing I wanted to point out is that the reaction of the people to this event, what did they say about these people from that upper room? Well, one of the things they said was that they must be drunk. And I think that was probably in Peter's mind as he talks about the Holy Spirit. There is a kind of a contrast here. That sometimes, even in the ancient days, they would think of someone who was drunk or intoxicated with some kind of mixture of drugs and alcohol, that they were under the influence of the god, and that they were possessed by the god because they acted differently. Well, the thing is here, when we talk about being drunk on wine and we talk about being filled with the Spirit, you could translate this a little bit different. You could put it this way. Do not be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. See, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit. We look at the effect of being drunk on wine to find the opposite of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, when you look at someone who is drunk, the alcohol has taken control. They are not really themselves. They are different. They are under the influence, you know, DUI. Driving under the influence. What does that mean? They have something that is controlling, something that is influencing them. Okay, so when we talk about a person who is drunk, the alcohol is suppressing some of the things in them so that they are not in control of themselves. Now, the thing is, they think they are. It's, you know, you see these shows that talk, that show these people that get arrested for being drunk, and then they have the, you know, the alcoholic test and little thing that you do walking down. And they think they're just, they're perfectly balanced as they're weaving and bobbing, you know, and that they have a great ability to touch their nose, you know. They're perfectly under control, but they're really not. They're not under the control. The alcohol is in control. And so when we look at this being drunk with wine, he says this is something that you don't want to have happen, but you want to have the influence and the control of the Holy Spirit. Another thing that this is different from being filled with the Spirit is that it wastes your life. It wastes your life. You find that a person who is drinking a lot, who's always under the influence of alcohol, that his life is wasting away. He wastes his time. He wastes his energy. His life is centered on drinking. And so therefore, he doesn't spend on his time on things that are productive, things that are good. He finds that he doesn't even keep his job sometimes because he can't control his drinking, and he finds his life out of control. And it finds his life is a waste. It takes from him. The alcohol takes. It doesn't give. It also leads to reckless living. Notice it says it leads to debauchery. That's another way of saying it's wasteful and it is reckless. You don't do the same things you do when you're drunk. When you're filled with alcohol and you're under the influence, you're reckless. You do things that are not well reasoned. You do things that are crazy. Inhibitions are, you know, suppressed, and you find yourself being involved in things and activities that you wouldn't do. People are more promiscuous under the influence of some alcohol or some kind of drug because the inhibitions are down. And you find that you waste your purity, that you waste your energies on things, and then you find yourself doing things that are very reckless and not wise. You find this same word used in the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. I'm going to just read a couple of verses here about him. Verse 13 and 14 of chapter 15. It says, a few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. And about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept across the land, and he began to starve. People waste their time, their energy, their resources, and they find themselves living in a wild kind of a reckless abandon. That they find that they had nothing left. It takes everything from you and leaves you with nothing. That is just the opposite of what life in the Spirit is. Now let's look at this. It says, it is the opposite of the life of a drunk. You give control of your life to the Holy Spirit. That's the difference between being under the influence of alcohol and being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's something you choose to do, and you are in control all the time. You can give control to the Holy Spirit and take it back anytime. It's something that you make a choice to do. It's not something that happens to you. You give him control of your mind, you give him control of your will, you give him control of your passions. So that his will and his mind and his passions become yours. It's a life where you give yourself to the Holy Spirit. And in that way, you are influenced, you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Let's look at that. Would you with me turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 5? It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Notice that your mind is set on something. When the Holy Spirit is influencing you, when you're living according to the Holy Spirit, His influence, your mind is set on certain things, on what He desires for you. And you are thinking about those things. You let Him speak to you about those things that He wants, that He desires. And of course, reading the Scriptures, who wrote the Scriptures? The Spirit of God. He moved upon the prophets. He moved upon those men of old so that they wrote. So the Holy Spirit uses the Word to speak to us and influence us so that we might be under His control. You find that living a life under the control of the Spirit or under the influence of the Spirit is a life that is enriched. Enriched. The Holy Spirit adds to our life. It doesn't take away. It doesn't waste our life. It adds. It contributes to our life. When you look at Galatians chapter 5, you'd see the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit adds these things to your life, so your life is more peaceful. You have the joy of the Spirit. The joy of the Lord is working in your life. You have a greater sense of freedom, a boldness that you wouldn't have, except that the Holy Spirit enabled you. You have a kindness and a goodness. You're more self-controlled. You're able to resist the flesh, because those that are under the Spirit's control resist the flesh and the impulses of the flesh. He stimulates you to grow. You have desires to grow. You want to grow. Have you ever had this desire to read the Bible? I did once. Yes, I did, Roger, one time. Well, guess what? That was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was wanting you to grow, and He knows that you grow by reading the Word, understanding the Word of God, and when you respond to Him and start reading, you're under the influence. He's starting to stimulate you to grow. He stimulates your desires. Where you once couldn't ever see about yourself going to a Bible study and hanging out with Christians, now you really desire to do that. You hunger for those things. You actually want to pray. These things are the Holy Spirit working. It's not just your idea. It's something that the Holy Spirit is doing. He doesn't do, a person who's not a believer doesn't have these desires. They don't want to pray unless they're in trouble. Right? It's only when your life's falling apart and you're going, oh God, if you're there, if you're real, help me out. There's your prayer. But it wasn't motivated by the Holy Spirit necessarily. It was motivated by fear. But as a Christian, you have desires are there, and you have to respond to them. Then the Holy Spirit, as you respond to Him, and you're giving Him influence in your life, and He starts to control more and more of your life until your desires and your will and your passions become more in line with God. Does this make any sense? Okay? So it's not all spooky. You know, we talk about spirit. People get, oh boy, I'm kind of nervous about that. You're not going to do something strange, are you? No, I'm not. When you read the Bible, guess what? The Holy Spirit is helping you to understand. You see things you did not see before. You understand things you didn't understand before. He's enriching your life. You have a witness of the Holy Spirit that you are a child of God. You have a sense of the reality of God like you had not before. He's a personal God. You have a there's a reality to him as he's a real person. And this is all the work of the Holy Spirit. He also adds abilities to us. He enables us to do things. He gifts us and enables us to do things that we couldn't do before without the Holy Spirit. And he helps you to serve him. He helps you to have strength to resist things or to do things where you had no strength to do it. Because of the Holy Spirit, he gives you strength. So all these things he contributes and adds to your life so that you are a better person, a person who is more like what God wanted you to be and what you really wanted to be before his influence came into your life. So he doesn't take away, he gives. He adds to your life. And when you find that you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, your life is under control. It's not out of control. It's in control. Romans chapter 8, again, verse 6, going to verse 9. It says, "The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. However, you are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." You are controlled by the Holy Spirit when you surrender to him and willingly give your life to him and you say, "Lord, work in my life." He has influence in your life and you find that your life is becoming more ordered. It's not chaotic. It's not out of control. One way to put it is that people say the hand of God is on his life. Why? Because things have an order and a purpose to them. God is guiding you. The Holy Spirit is guiding and directing you. And so that your steps are now ordered in the way they should go. And you find that there's things happen for a purpose and for a reason. And you find that even though you didn't know it, things are being put together for you. You ever had that experience where you look in the back on your life and you go, "Wow, all this, I could see how God was working through this whole thing." Why? Because you're under the influence of God, the Holy Spirit. He is guiding and directing you, ordering your steps as you follow him and as you surrender to him and you let him rule in your life, things become ordered. There's a reason. There's a purpose behind your living. And you don't necessarily know it sometimes. And you find things happening in your life and go, "Wow, that was pretty interesting how that happened." Because God is guiding you. God is directing you. So we know that the Holy Spirit, living a life that's under the influence of the Spirit, is just really the opposite of being under the influence of some kind of alcohol or drug. You are fully in control, but you willingly give control to God, and he does all these things in your life that is totally different from a person who is controlled by alcohol. Now, how does this work in your life? How do I get this? How do I do this? How does this work? Well, first of all, you have to realize to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit is something that you are to do. Okay, let's read again what it says here. Do not get drunk. You don't do that. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now notice, it's not a suggestion. If you like, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's up to you. We just thought it'd be nice if you like to. No, it's a command. You are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's something that you are to do. You're responsible. In other words, you don't just say, oh man, it happened to me. You know, I'm under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's not what this is talking about. Okay, this here is something that you do. All right? And it's something that's an ongoing thing. It doesn't happen one day, and then that's it. It's an ongoing thing. In fact, if you look at the original, it says, be being filled. It's an ongoing thing to be being under the influence. It's a constant, daily, hourly, by the minute thing that you're to be under His control. Now, if you're going to have Him work in your life and influence your life, you have to avoid grieving the Holy Spirit. It's a negative aspect of this. You won't find yourself under the influence of God, the Holy Spirit, if you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Would you turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16? And we'll go down to verse 18. He says, so I say, I'm quick. Go ahead. I know a couple of you guys are still going there. All right. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. Now, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we act in opposition to Him and what He wants. When you sin, you grieve God. Now, notice the term here, grieving the Holy Spirit. You have to look at this in this perspective, too. God, the Holy Spirit, is a person. He is not the force. He is a person. Only a person can be grieved, saddened. And when we live our lives and we waste our lives by not responding to Him, he is hurt. He is grieved by that. He's made sorrowful. It's painful to Him to see us waste our lives like that. And He knows the consequences that are going to be coming into our lives. So when we do that, when we are sinning, we find ourselves estranged from God. God is not really speaking to us because we have surrendered to the influences of our fallen nature, so to speak, our flesh. And we are not able to really respond to the Spirit because we have now come under the influence of flesh, of those desires of the flesh. And so we don't hear from Him. We don't have the communion with Him. We don't have this relationship going on with the Holy Spirit. So He doesn't speak to us when we grieve. So you can't be under the influence of God, the Holy Spirit, and sinning at the same time. Now, there are some people, I guess, who might believe that that's possible. But that, as far as the Bible is concerned, that is not possible. You can't be doing the two. So if you're gossiping about somebody, you can actually try to make it spiritual if you like. Well, I was just concerned about him. And God told me, God is just speaking to me about them, and I'm just wanted to share it with you. God's not speaking. You're talking, not God. You're gossiping. That is not something the Holy Spirit's involved with. He's not there. Sometimes we get focused on something, we rationalize things, and we label them something different than what they really are, and so that we can do what we want to do, but then we claim it's the Lord behind it. It's not true. When we sin, God's not involved. He can't have anything to do with it. It doesn't mix. You need to avoid quenching the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not put out the fire of the Holy Spirit, another version says. So you can resist the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit won't force you to do anything. You can resist Him and quench. In other words, you can diminish His influence in your life, so He doesn't speak to you anymore. And that's a dangerous thing. Next, you must be aware that He lives in you. I think that's something that we don't do very often. We don't realize that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do not you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. You belong to Him. So as I live my life, I have to realize that the Holy Spirit is with me all the time. God the Holy Spirit never leaves me. He lives within me. So, I'm not independent anymore. I'm not to live an independent life. There's no such thing as an independent life. Did you know that? There really isn't. I don't want to serve the devil, and I don't want to serve the Lord. I want to serve me. Doesn't exist. You can only serve the devil or the Lord. That's it. You're in one camp or the other. You can't say, well, I just want to do what I want to do. Guess what? You're in the devil's camp then. And you'll find yourself doing his will. So you must not grieve the Holy Spirit. You got to avoid quenching the Holy Spirit. And you have to be aware that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you at all times. That He's there. Now, when you realize that He lives in you, you then must respond to His promptings. You must respond to His promptings. Now, you become more adept at that as you practice and as you learn how to respond. As you respond to His promptings, you become more attuned to Him. In 2 Peter, we find that the Holy Spirit prompted those who wrote the Scriptures. Verse 21 of 2 Peter, first chapter, verse 21, it says, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit prompted them to write and gave them things to write. So, when I feel a desire to pray, and I go, you know, I probably should pray here pretty soon. But first, I'm going to watch this news show. Guess what? You just quenched the Spirit. And how many have had that happen and then you remember to pray? Hands go down. Okay. That is the flesh. That's the enemy. We're talking spiritual things here. These are spiritual things. They happen to us. We have these desires, and then we don't respond to them. We have these promptings, and then we don't do them. You're quenching the Spirit. He wants to speak to you. I've done this so many times. It happens to us. But if we want to have a life that's full of the Spirit, you have to respond to His promptings that He gives. Now, as I follow His promptings, as I'm more sensitive to His speaking, I become more and more under His influence, under His control. And He continues to reveal, show, and guide, and direct, and He becomes more of an influence in my life. Now, when you recognize the Holy Spirit's promptings, you are able to see more clearly the promptings of the flesh. They're totally different. How many of you have ever had, and you don't have to raise your hands because I know you have, but I just want to put this survey out. How many of you have had arguments with your husband or your wife, and you felt as you were arguing that you were right? I don't know anybody who doesn't argue, doesn't feel they're right, you know, okay? And you felt justified too, of saying and doing what you're doing. Have you noticed that as soon as the argument's over, you have this wonderful warm feeling of want a hug? If you do, I'd like to talk to you. I don't know how that works in your life. It isn't that way. Now, when you have those kind of experiences, you can stop it right now because you can say to yourself, this is not the Holy Spirit. This is not the Holy Spirit prompting me to do this. Yes, I feel justified in doing it, but this is not the way to do it. I'm not being guided by the Holy Spirit to make that cutting remark. I'm not being guided by the Holy Spirit to not listen. See, when a person is guided by the Holy Spirit, they're more sensitive to things. They listen. They're more in tune with things. When we listen to the Holy Spirit, we can avoid a lot of things that will bring damage. And I know personally, when I have been under the control of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to control what I say. I'm praying like crazy. I say, Lord, help me, help me, help me not to say what I'm thinking. I give those thoughts to you. I'm not going to say those things. Those things are of the flesh. These things are, they're not any, won't do any positive good thing. Lord, help me, help me. I want to say this so bad. I even bit my lip to remind me not to open it. Open my mouth. Well, I'm responding to the Holy Spirit. That's the warfare that's going on. The Spirit is warring against the flesh right then. It's a battle. But when I respond to the Holy Spirit, then I'm able to see much clearer of what the situation is and what I should say and what I shouldn't say. What I should do and what I shouldn't do. Does this make any sense? So, these promptings of the Holy Spirit lead us and they guide us. So he's saying, I'm going to lead you, Roger. Here's my leading. Shut up. Oh, he probably says it in a nicer way, but you know, the same thing. Don't say anything. This is not a time I want you to talk. I want you to listen. I'm being led by the Spirit. And I find myself having the results, the fruit of the Spirit. When I'm being led by the Spirit, I'm sowing things. My actions are being guided and directed by the Spirit, and I'm sowing things that will bring good fruit, good results. Because that's what the influence of the Holy Spirit does. He brings this about. He brings more peace. He brings a sense of joy. You are gentle. You are kind. You're not rude. More compassion. These are all aspects of the Holy Spirit working in your life. So when I respond to those promptings, then I see that God is now, He's guiding me, He's directing me, He's creating and working in me, adding to my life, so that I become more under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, it might be a good thing to do is to write down when the Holy Spirit prompts you, what He's prompting you to do. Just so that it becomes more concrete. So that it kind of slows you down. So you have to think about it. So that you can respond to it. Until you get better adept at responding to the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you ever had, you feel like God has prompted you to do something and you've delayed doing it? Okay. When you do that, it's harder to hear. It's harder to respond to the prompting. So when you are prompted, if you write it down, then you recognize that kind of thing is a prompting from the Holy Spirit. For instance, I should call so-and-so. I'm waiting, Lord. Go ahead, help me to call him. My hand's not moving. I don't know what the deal is. Well, I guess I don't supposed to. No. You have to do it. You can't just, you know, some people feel like they're just let the Holy Spirit. No. When He prompts you, that's when you do it. Now, here's the deal. When you're prompted by the Holy Spirit, here's what the enemy will do. You can count on it. Oh, you're going to call them now? I bet you they're busy. Why would they want to talk to you? Or, oh, that's so embarrassing. What are you going to say? I mean, anything that he can throw your way to keep you from doing what, oh, I don't like talking on the phone. I'm going to wait until I can see him face to face. Oh, okay, well, that'll happen. When? See, if the Holy Spirit prompts you, that means He's going to enable you to do what you need to do. You cannot focus on how you feel and your strengths and your abilities, because that is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that enables us. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to respond to this, but do you think that it's natural for me to get up here and speak to people? This is the last thing I ever thought I'd do. I remember I argued with God for years about this. I said, God, I know you don't make mistakes, but I think you did. This is not something I'm naturally... I don't do this in front of people. I mean, I don't even talk to myself. Why would I talk to anybody else? I just didn't feel like I had the ability to. I remember that the first time I had to speak, I prayed for hours, just begging God to show up when I was there, that He would help me. Because I knew if God wasn't there to help me, it was going to be a nightmare. Nothing would come to my mind, and I'd stand there like a deer in the headlights, just. But I knew that God wanted me to do it, and I just didn't know how I could do it, except that if He'd help me. And if He would help me, I could do it. So I counted on His help. So when God gives you a prompting, expect to have opposition. Expect to have ideas and thoughts and reasonings that are going to come against you so you won't respond. But when you do, you're going to see God working in your life, doing things that you did not think could ever happen. Now, here's the deal. When you live like that, life becomes exciting. When you live like that, this whole spiritual life that we're talking about becomes very real. And you find God doing miraculous things that you did not even imagine could happen. And God using you, growing you, and making you a different person than you ever thought you could be. Now, He gives some examples here, and we'll close with this, some examples of how the Spirit influences us, what we see here going on in this portion of Scripture. He says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. So God's going to enrich your worship experience. Your worship of God will be enriched when the Holy Spirit is working in your life, influencing life, speaking to you through the Word, guiding you to do things, and speaking in your life. You're going to find that you have a greater depth of acquaintance with God. You're going to be closer to Him because you're in unity with Him. You find that you have His thoughts more. The Word of God becomes more part of your life. Here's another thing. The Holy Spirit will bring things to your memory. But if you don't have anything in your memory, guess what He's going to bring up? So it's good to memorize things. Now, I know that some of you say, well, my mind doesn't work anymore. Since I got this age, I just don't rely on that. You exercise it and it'll become better. And God will help you. But that's how God helps you in your worship. It deepens your understanding, deepens your acquaintance with God, and it deepens and enriches your worship to Him. Because you know more about Him. What does the Holy Spirit do? What was one of the things He was supposed to do when He came? He is to speak of Jesus. He is to reveal Jesus to you. How many have ever prayed and you don't feel like Jesus is very real? And you feel like I'm just praying to the wall. Well, a lot of that is because you haven't been submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit and letting Him teach you, show you, reveal to you who Jesus is. And that's a whole other subject right there. Okay? So you will find yourself building others up by your worship. Notice it says here that you're going to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You'll have something to say that will be a blessing and cause people to be more desirous to worship God because they're with you. And what you're able to share about what you're learning about Him, what He's, and you're speaking the Scriptures, you're speaking the truth, you're speaking these, even in song. You know, music does something to us that I don't think anything else does. It connects with us in a deep, deep way. And some of you find this, might find this as a comfort. It says, sing and make music in your heart. Not out loud. You can do it in your heart. Anywhere you go. You have a song in your heart. You'll be more expressive in your worship. You're thankful to God. There's more thanksgiving when the Holy Spirit is working in your life. You see more of the things that you need to be thankful for and things that you want to thank Him for. You know that's the Holy Spirit. How many of you have a talent in finding flaws? Everybody should be raising their hands on this one, I think. Okay? We have an ability to see the negative. You know, you've heard the illustration of someone has a sheet of paper and there's a little dot over here. Guess where your eyes go? To the little dot. The whole thing is white except for the little dot there, and your eyes go to the dot. Our eyes go to the negative a lot of times, to the criticisms, to the things that we should complain about and things that we want to, you know, whine about. When the Holy Spirit comes in your life, you're more preoccupied with being thankful because God is being revealed. Jesus and His love for you is being revealed in a greater depth, in a greater way. And you're filled with gratitude because the Holy Spirit is making Him real to you. You don't have time to complain. Another thing that we find when the Holy Spirit's influenced your life, you're more of a team player. It says, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. When you are being guided and directed by the Holy Spirit, He causes you to see that you're just not you and God. He helps to expand your vision so that you see that you are a part of the whole. And that who you are fits with others. It's just not you and God. You and the church. And you start to live and act in a way that's not as self-centered. It's more centered on the things of God and the people of God. So when God prompts you, you start to see things that are needs and you want to submit yourself to ministering to that other person. That's what submission is about a lot, is serving. So you're not about what's in it for me, it's what can I contribute to the life of this person. And you start to see the church as a whole more, of other people. So if you can contribute in a way that benefits more people, you can say, well, that's probably the Holy Spirit working in my life to meet the need of others. And here's the way I've seen it many times in my life and others. I come to church and my focus is on my problems, on my struggles, my issues, and I'm just hoping that God's going to help me that morning and help me to fix things and get things back to where I can enjoy life again, right? And so I come when I'm needy, and when I'm not that needy, I can miss it this week. It's not that important. You know, I go quite often. And there's a good game on today, by the way. So, you know. And I'm more focused on me. Instead of coming to the service and I'm going, you know, I need to connect with some people and see how they're doing. I'm concerned for their health spiritually. You know, I noticed they weren't here last week. I wonder what happened. I haven't seen them in a few weeks. What's going on with them? Oh, I know. That's the pastor's job. No, I'm being sarcastic. That's not the pastor's job. If you're part of the body, God, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you and direct you to connect with other people and to speak spiritual psalms and hymns. You're going to contribute to their life. You're going to help them. And you're going to see things that way, to where you're more focused on the health of other people and spiritually than you are about your own needs. I mean, you're never going to forget about your own needs. That's just, I don't see that as a big problem right there, you know. But when you're looking around, you're going to see the needs of others, and you'll be concerned and compassionate and filled with love and desire to see them helped. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is about. That's His concerns. That's what the Lord's concerns are. Okay, so I'm more of a team player. I see that I have a part to play. Have you noticed this in team sports? You can have one person that is fantastic. They're an amazing player. But the other parts of the team aren't doing their part, and they're all trying to be the main guy. That team is going nowhere. When you see a team that really works well, they're all selfless. They think of the team as a whole. And they're trying to contribute so that the whole team is strengthened. They look at the team and say, what can I do to contribute to make this a stronger team? They're not looking to see how can I make my game better. How can I get more points? How can I do some fantastic things so that I get kudos? That's not what it's about. It's about the team. It's about the whole. Well, the same thing is when you're on the influence of the Holy Spirit, your focus will be more on the whole. And how can I contribute to the health of the whole? God has a part for me to play. He has something for me to do to make the whole better. Finally, this is all done because of your reverence for Jesus. As the Holy Spirit reveals more of who Jesus is, you have a reverence and a love for Him. You're filled with awe for Him. His love is awe-inspiring. So that you will do things as unto the Lord. And you'll see this as we go on. It's always in there, that phrase, as unto the Lord. He becomes the reason for what we do. So when it comes to your marriage, you do these things as unto the Lord. When it comes dealing with your children, it's as unto the Lord. When it comes to working and doing things in the workplace, it's as unto the Lord. Okay? You'll find yourself doing things because the Lord wants you to do them that you wouldn't do for anybody, but you'll do it for the Lord. Because you love Him. So everything is directed and guided and set because I'm doing this as unto the Lord. Does that make a difference? Okay? So as the Holy Spirit works in your life, you're going to see this happen more in your life. If you become more selfish, guess what? Not happening. If you're more concerned about yourself all the time, and that's growing, it's not happening. If you're able to see yourself as a help to others, and you're starting to be more sensitive to others, the needs of others, putting their needs before yours, because you care about and concerned about them, guess what's happening? The Holy Spirit is working in your life. You're coming under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So let us be filled or controlled under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. May we surrender and give ourselves to him. May we respond to his promptings. May we seek and desire to commune with him and hear his voice speak to us through your word. Speak to us through other believers as they share your word. May we find ourselves walking and living in the Spirit, that we might enjoy this life that you give us. Be enriched by it, Lord. Being filled with your love. We thank you, Lord. We pray these things in your name. Amen.